Well, hello. Welcome, friends. 12 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. That is Arthur Pressman, Traffic Attorney Time, right here. And great to be with you to start off a whole new week. I miss you guys on the weekend. I really do. And Tanner Saunders is behind the glass at Master Control. So many things to get into and to potentially get into today. I barely know where to begin. I've got this tremendous stew with awesome ingredients. So now it's just a question of putting the ingredients in the right place at the right time in order to come up with a tasty dish for your radio ears. Speaking of ears, really weird. Went to the ear, nose, and throat guy this morning and takes a good look in my ears, says, I see something, thinking, wow, fluid? Is it fluid behind the tympanic membrane? What is it? He keeps looking. He says, it looks like it's a gerbil? And I just said, I have no idea how that got there, but I guess he was just kidding. Anyway, so it's 13 minutes after 3 at WBEN. So just some random thoughts, I think, to start things out. First of all, and this probably is going to be something we're going to talk about, if not today, down the road. All this talk about the assault on freedom of speech. I don't feel like there's an assault on my freedom of speech. The company has rules that we've always had to follow. Just because the government gives us freedom of speech and we're not going to end up in a gulag cutting down trees with our teeth doesn't mean that we're not accountable and that there are no consequences for what we say. Okay? And I think back to Rush Limbaugh being yanked from ESPN's football coverage. Well, I don't remember anybody saying, okay, so he said what he said about a black quarterback. He has a freedom of speech. No, nobody came to Rush Limbaugh's defense. I remember Rush Limbaugh getting in trouble for some other things he said along the way. And people on the left in particular were not very happy. You know, they called him misogynistic and everything else. They weren't exactly very pro freedom of speech then, were they? Or did I not get that particular memo? So it seems that your appreciation and Tucker Carlson, and we talked about this before, Joe's talked about it, David's talked about it, but Jimmy Kimmel was dancing on Tucker Carlson's metaphorical broadcasting grave after Tucker got clipped from Fox News Channel. So I don't really understand it. And as I said last week, I don't celebrate when anybody gets fired, especially people in this line of work. I'm not going to celebrate it. I have opinions on it. I think the suspension was warranted because what Kimmel said, if you believe what you see online about ABC's policies, was in violation of ABC's policies and was pretty insensitive to a lot of people. And it wasn't like the government came in. Jimmy Kimmel's not in Siberia right now. He's probably in the Hamptons or he's probably in Malibu or someplace really, really cool. And it's not like the government came in the middle of the night, put a black bag over his head and took him for medical research. All right. ABC made, as we talked about last week, a business decision because Jimmy Kimmel and what he said was not just going to affect the Jimmy Kimmel show. It was going to affect the entire network and the revenue stream for the network. Okay. It's a business thing. And all of us, yes, you too, you don't even have to be a public figure. All of us who work for a living are subject to our employer's dictates in terms of their brand and how we are supposed to represent their brand, okay? End of story. And if you post something that you really don't even have to post on social media that is just beyond what people consider to be the norms that they expect from somebody or against company policy, there's going to be consequences. And it's been this way for years. It's not like this is some new thing that has just come down the, well, it's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump. He's a fascist, you know. He's an authoritarian, you know. Donald Trump was an authoritarian. You think AOC would still be above ground? She'd be next to Jimmy Kimmel in Siberia, whatever the American Siberia happens to be. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's Vermont. I'm not sure. But anyway, the whole freedom of speech thing is very, very interesting because I just want to share something with you. And I know that when people start talking about New York City in Buffalo, you might be tempted to tune out. Like, okay, New York City doesn't concern me. That's a different world. And I get it. But I think this is a very interesting story about the freedom of speech angle that is being played so much by so many people. Oh, Conan O'Brien came to Jimmy Kimmel's defense. Really? That's a stunning development. Parents, this is New York Post. Parents, students, teachers demand more charter schools be allowed to open in New York City in massive march across the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, this happened last Thursday. Thousands of people peacefully protested. Parents, teachers, students. They marched across the Brooklyn Bridge last Thursday to support the city's nearly 300 charter schools and call for more to be allowed to open. There was what is described as a raucous rally in Cadman Plaza, headlined by rapper Common, of whom I've never heard, actually. I'm a little out of touch. Stop the no, let charters grow, attendees chanted. And this march, again, thousands of people. Did you hear any reports about vandalism or looting or things being burned? This was a peaceful protest, right? I mean, as opposed to certain protests I can think of in the last 5 years that the media called mostly peaceful protests. Mostly peaceful? I believe I see flames licking the sky in the background. Is that mostly peaceful? Huh, that's interesting. But anyway, the demonstration was actually organized by a coalition of charter schools, and they gave people the day off of school in order to take part in the demonstration to lobby in favor of charter schools in New York City. Again, thousands of people crossing the Brooklyn Bridge to peacefully make a point. Well, guess who is not happy about it? According to the New York Times, and you can fact check me on this, that's fine. According to the New York Times, a couple dozen state Democrats are hostily responding to this free speech. They want an investigation into the charter schools that gave students and teachers the day off so that they could lobby for charter schools. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. So on the one hand, we're told that there's an assault on freedom of speech and President Trump, he is an authoritarian. My goodness, he's Kim Jong-un, you know. On the other hand, in New York State, you've got these Democrat lawmakers who don't like freedom of speech when it comes to thousands of people peacefully saying, we want more funding for charter schools. They're privately run, publicly funded, by the way, just so you know. So I just think that is crazy, man. It's crazy. And you know what's even crazier? It was only about, 5-7 years ago that a lot of Democrats supported charter schools. They supported charter school, just like Kathy Hochul supported guns. Well, now she doesn't. And the Democrats supported charter schools at one point, and now they don't. And because they don't, if people exercise their First Amendment free speech and peacefully assemble, as they did, how is that a government issue? How is that something that state lawmakers need to investigate? We need to investigate the charter school. Why? Because they didn't have a rally for Weingarten and the teachers union? Is that why? Because I'm really confused about this. You can't say there's an unparalleled and unprecedented attack on free speech in this country and then go after people who are demonstrating peacefully in favor of charter schools and increased charter school funding. You can't have it both ways. And I would emphasize again, this was a peaceful protest. And I know that it happened in Brooklyn. And I know most of us, you probably haven't even been to Brooklyn in your life. I'm rather fond of Brooklyn, actually. Not what it was in the 30s, but I wasn't there in the 30s. But anyway, I'm just saying, maybe my 30s, but that's another story. I think that's weird. Okay. Now, I'm not really into charter schools. And honestly, I can't really tell you too much about charter schools. But the issue to me is the charter school people exercised their constitutional right. And now you've got 24 Democrats in New York State who want them investigated because they did this rally in favor of charter schools. What? Are you scared that the teachers' unions might be losing traction because they've been longtime Democrat supporters? I mean, the head of the National Teachers Union, she thinks that, what, all parents are fascists? Weingarten? Man, she's a piece of work. Good Lord. Tell you something. If I had kids right now, if I had little kids right now, I still have kids, but they're grown-up kids. They're adulthood. So if I had kids right now, I don't think I would send them to a public school. And I'm sorry to have to say that. I just don't think I would. And I don't know that I feel comfortable sending them to some of the private schools whose curriculum I have some familiarity with, having read some of the textbooks, because I honestly, I don't trust them. Isn't that horrible? And it's not, I'm not sitting here and saying, you know what? I had a horrible education. I hated school. My teachers were monsters. In fact, they literally were demons. I'm not saying that. I had a great education in the Kenmore Town of Tonawanda School District. And frankly, and I'm talking about 68 through 81 when I graduated. 1968, not 1868.
Yes, Andrew Johnson came one day.
But I had a great education because, frankly, the teachers did not bring their politics that probably were mostly Republican at that point in time, because a lot of the teachers that taught me were actually World War II veterans or the spouses of World War II veterans. True story. But we were not proselytized excessively. There, looking back on it, there were certainly some women's rights things that maybe would have been inappropriate in the fourth grade that we had to endure. And that was the time when Billie Jean King had a tennis match against Bobby Riggs. And that was somewhat politicized, I think, in the classroom. But that's pretty lame compared to what's going on today. I never had any doubts that I was a little boy and that Mary was a little girl. I never had any doubts about that. Okay. I never questioned, maybe I should be a girl. Maybe when we had to swim naked as adult boys, teenage boys, maybe then I wanted to be a girl because they got to wear suits. It always seems silly to me, but we've talked about that enough. So long story short, and you can look this up myself, or you can look this up yourself. I've already looked it up. Look it up yourself. Demonstration, Brooklyn, last Thursday for charter schools. By the weekend, 24 Democrats had given it a hostile response, some of them calling for an investigation. These are the same people who claim free speech is under attack. It's Donald Trump's fault. And again, to get back to where I started, free speech does not mean what you think it means. There are consequences to speech, okay? It's not free. It's not unfettered by convention or societal expectations. It is not, well, it's very fettered by corporate and company policies, as you well know. And basically, you know, if it's something you wouldn't feel comfortable saying to somebody's face, I think the best policy, and I've learned this from painful experience, not going to lie, best policy, if you wouldn't say it to somebody's face, or you wouldn't want people who sign your check to know that you said it, probably best to keep it to yourself. All right. Can we maybe agree on that? Just for your own self-preservation. I have a very, very small footprint on social media. I spend very little time with social media, frankly. I just something I used to do it. And then I realized in my own risk benefit analysis way that, not getting paid for this and the risks I'm taking exceed the benefit derived. I think I'm just going to let it go. Let it go. So just keep that in mind. Coming up on 325 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Then there is something else that I would. Let me just circle back to this. Folks, you can do your own research on this. Okay. You can start with a search that I told you about last week. And I went over some of the results last week about the number of people who were terminated or suspended for what they'd said about the George Floyd situation and the demonstrations. All right. Now, I don't remember anybody on the left saying, well, my goodness, so they said bad things about the Antifa people. They still have freedom of speech, you know. But the narrative you have to look out for right now is a false narrative that this is something that hasn't happened before. People are losing their jobs over what they've posted on social media. This hasn't happened before. It's happened a lot. It's happened tons. You might even know people over the years, not just recently, who've lost their jobs or have been suspended from their jobs because of something they put on social media. But now, because Donald Trump is in the White House, now things that went unnoticed by the left, and frankly, a lot of people on the right, and a lot of normal people too. Things that went unnoticed are suddenly propelled into these, my goodness, this is the new Dreyfus affair. This is a horrible injustice. It's new in the American experience. No, it's not. It really isn't. And by the way, I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble here. And I'm going to get in trouble with some of you for saying this. But
who do you think the president was who most tore up the Constitution, including freedom of speech? I will give you a moment to think about that. There's your moment. It was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, you want to talk about an authoritarian who trampled the Constitution? Abraham Lincoln was the most authoritarian, dictatorial, unconstitutional acting president in this nation's history. Look at what he did to the press. Look at what he did to lawmakers. He, in many ways, and it pains me to say this, Lincoln, in many ways, was a tyrant. Much more so than Donald Trump. Good grief. Has Donald Trump put anybody in prison because they disagree? No. So know your history because it helps you interpret the present a little bit better. It gives you a better perspective, a different texture, like an onion, all right? Like an onion? A turnip, whatever. It is 3:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I warned you at the beginning. There's a lot of things that I wanted to bring up, and I'm just bringing them up now, even if I don't actually turn them into a call-in topic. So don't go anywhere. I'll try to be interesting. I'll try to stay interesting on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, welcome. WBEN Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is coming up on 3:38. It is Bowerly with you. So talked the first part of the program about the alleged attack on free speech and New York Democrats wanting to investigate the charter school rally in Brooklyn, which crossed the bridge last Thursday. Because, obviously, that would be antithetical to the teachers' unions, which support Democrats. And I guess they just don't want people having more of a say in their children's education for some strange reason. That's a little bit, trying to figure that one out. Could you possibly think of an explanation why? And then there is the story over the weekend. And again, this is from the Strange Days Indeed file. Do you remember COVID? You remember the pandemic, and do you remember the great affection that even well into COVID, people had for the masks? You remember how stupid the masks were? Oh, good Lord. I'm still thinking about the COVID restrictions. And in retrospect, and a lot of you saw it at the time, I was a slow learner on COVID. I eventually got it, but I was a slow learner because I have to be cautious. You know why? Because of company standards and my own standards, too. I need to be very cautious about what I say. And I've got to be able to cite sources and defend my position. And I'm not a doctor, so I've got to, at least until I hear doctors giving counter arguments that I can source, I got to be really careful, okay? But some of you got it very early, and I was, again, maybe a couple of months late to the party. How's that? So anyway, how stupid it was. You remember the days you'd walk into a restaurant and you'd wear a mask. You would sit down at the table, you could take the mask off of your face. Then, if you had to go pee, you would put the mask back on and walk to the bathroom. And I just thought at the time, okay, this is really stupid. Because are you telling me that sitting down at a table creates a coronavirus, a COVID virus force field? It keeps the coronavirus confined to my table. So I have the mask off. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to walk across the room and infect your grandmother. It's not going to. Now, I thought the whole thing was just very stupid. And I talked about that at the time. But a lot of people continued mask mandates for a long time, which, again, people have said this a lot. But it's kind of like trying to keep mosquitoes out of your yard with a chain link fence. Just saying. But why is it that the same people who were so hesitant to let us take off the masks and let our kids in schools take off the masks now don't want law enforcement to wear masks? I think an answer to this might be, I think the people in law enforcement, I'm talking about California, the people in law enforcement, they should say, oh, we're wearing masks because we didn't get vaccinated and we're trying to do as you said and protect our fellow citizens from COVID-19. That might be an argument. But California, in case you didn't know, over the weekend, California has established a new policy, a new law, where law enforcement agencies' representatives will not be allowed to wear face coverings. They will not be allowed to wear masks. Now, you might be thinking, well, Tom, this issue of cops and ICE agents wearing masks is a relatively new phenomenon. I remember seeing it in V for Vendetta and some other dystopian movies, but why are they doing it now? Is it because America is this authoritarian place where people are going to come after you with big force if you disagree with the mantra of the day? And the answer is actually yes, but it's not the government that will come after you. It is people on the left who disagree with certain policies of the administration and which most Americans happen to support. In particular, the deportation of criminal, illegal invaders into the United States. Now, why? Ask yourself a question, okay? Before we even get into the California thing, ask yourself a question. How come in recent years, certain law enforcement professionals have taken to wearing masks? And you see it primarily in the ICE raids. You'll also see it in certain drug raids or tactical operations of law enforcement. Why has the mask become the face? We call it a face covering. Why has the face covering become an important part of law enforcement? Why do you think that is? How come for years, Joe Friday from Dragnet and Martin Milner walked around, Adam 12, and all the other Law and Order, SVU, whatever. How come for years, law enforcement people walked around and they weren't wearing masks? What changed? And I just have a little theory that I'd like to advance here. You know what changed? What changed is the threats of doxing. Now, the reason people in law enforcement, particularly ICE and some of the other federal agencies, the reason they're wearing masks is because they do not want their identity to be known to the general public. Now, why is that? Is that because they have SS tattoos, their blood type under their arm? No. It is because they are concerned that they're going to be not only identified, but they're going to be targeted by people who don't agree with what they do for a living or the policies of the agency for which they work. They are going to be victimized. Oh, it's not like people get shot for what they say anymore. Oh, wait a minute. So anyway, and that was obviously sarcastic and said with reverence, by the way, for the memory of Charlie Kirk. But the reason these people took to wearing masks is because they have been threatened with and in some cases have been exposed to what is called doxing. And doxing is the release of a person's private information online. And why would somebody release somebody's private information online if the person involved is, let's just say, an ICE agent? Do you think that that might be intimidation? That sounds pretty fascist to me. I'm just saying. That sounds really fascist. So you're going to intimidate somebody who is carrying out the law of the United States, who is acting under legal orders, and you're going to destroy their lives. You're going to put their life and their family's lives in danger. If these people have to show their faces, given some of the insane people out there, they're going to be doxed. They're going to be identified. And I suspect that what you would see, and if they can't wear masks anymore, I think you're going to see it a lot, is you're going to see protesters, violent protesters. You see these people. I mean, the protesters will show up at an ICE raid and confront the ICE agents, get in their faces, throw big stones at them, be very, very violent toward the ICE agents when the ICE agents are there and fully armed and in all of their gear. So do you really think, use your common sense, do you really think that the same kind of people would not show up at their homes and terrorize the off-duty agent, the off-duty agent's families, and pose a considerable risk to the safety and health of the ICE agent? I'm sorry, but I really believe that that is inevitable. Otherwise, why would you dox? seriously, the reason you dox somebody is to A, make their lives miserable, and B, my opinion, I think you dox somebody because you're hoping that one of the lunatics is going to do something to harm the ICE agent so that that becomes a deterrent to other ICE agents from doing their job. And the ICE agents say, huh, this isn't worth it anymore. I got to quit the job. That's why you do it. You didn't have this years ago. And then along came doxing. And for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So the threats of doxing and the people who have been doxed over the years resulted in people in law enforcement, particularly ICE, covering their faces. You know why? Because they're trying to keep themselves safe. They're trying to keep their families safe. Now, you might think that California is some wackadoodle state, and I wouldn't disagree with you. You are aware, however, that in New York State, there is a proposal in Albany. I kid you not, there is a proposal in Albany called, oh, Jimmy Kimmel is coming back. That was a short-lived suspension. We'll get into that when I get more information on it. But my train of thought here got interrupted. The New York State Democrats are basically, there is a proposal to prohibit law. It's just like California. It would prohibit federal, state, and local law enforcement from wearing masks or face coverings while interacting with the public. And it is a bill. It is not yet a law. It's called the MELT Act, the Mandating End of Lawless Tactics Act, the MELT Act. And it would also require law enforcement to wear name badges or badge numbers, clothing that identifies what agency they work for, and there would be exceptions for certain cases, including if it's medically required or for a tactical purpose. When police wear masks, democracy loses its face. I don't remember anybody saying that during COVID. When everybody wears masks, humanity kind of loses its collective faces. I'm just saying. So remember something. It all starts in California. And I've heard lawyers speaking today about this. Apparently, California, that's a moot situation because the feds are going to supersede California in this one. So they're not going to take off their masks. So if New York State does this, the same standard would apply if the lawyers I heard today were right. And basically, the federal agencies would just say, up yours, New York State. We're the feds. You don't matter. But do you think New York State should pass the bill that would prohibit law enforcement people from wearing face coverings? And frankly, I really don't believe it should, because law enforcement has been, over the past, 5-7 years, under a hailstorm of criticism and violence and ambushes. Those guys in Pennsylvania last week. Law enforcement is having a hard time recruiting people. You know why? Why do you think? I mean, I don't have to spell it out for you. You know why? Because it ain't worth it to a lot of people. Because in the era of doxing, your entire life can be destroyed because you're doing something for a living that you have always felt called to do. And I think there actually should be a law against doxing, if there isn't already. I think people who dox are committing a criminal offense because, to me, it's almost like an incitement to violence. I'm just saying. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, why would you dox somebody? To make it easier for the general public to send them a Christmas card or a Rosh Hashanah greeting? I don't know. So Jimmy Kimmel's show. I don't mean to change gears again on you, but I want to bring this up at least. I did mention it before. Jimmy Kimmel's show is going to return to ABC tomorrow night. Now, the New York Times says the network removal of Mr. Kimmel's show last week almost immediately morphed into a flashpoint for free speech in America. Okay, it didn't become a flashpoint for free speech in the America that I hang out in because we understood that there are consequences for what you say. It became a flashpoint for free speech for people who didn't consider Rush Limbaugh getting taken off of ESPN a free speech issue, who didn't consider Tucker Carlson a free speech issue. In fact, Jimmy Kimmel danced on his metaphorical grave, as I mentioned before, and the people who were terminated over George Floyd or Antifa comments. That didn't become a flashpoint for free speech. But this issue, and by the way, if Donald Trump is a tyrant, if he is an authoritarian tyrant with unlimited power over media and big money people in media, he's a really crappy tyrant, because any tyrant worth his salt would have made sure that Jimmy Kimmel, I can think of some really horrible things, but I'm not going to say them because I'm sensitive, but Jimmy Kimmel would not be on TV again so soon after he was jerked off the air last week. That's not a good tyrant. That shows somebody who actually does not have authoritarian power. I'm sorry, but if this were North Korea, which Kim Jong-un is obviously a tyrant, killed his own brother with chemicals in that airport. But if Trump was a tyrant, Jimmy Kimmel would not be returning to the air. And as far as like the New York Times contending, well, this morphed into a flashpoint over free speech. Oh, it became a talking point about free speech because it was somebody on the left who was censured for what he said that a lot of people thought was pretty ugly. It wasn't a free speech thing. Again, we talked about this ad nauseum, and frankly, I'm a little sick of talking about it. If I said half the things in terms of my biases politically that Jimmy Kimmel had said, I wouldn't be working. I mean, he's the guy who said, you didn't get vaccinated. You go to the hospital with COVID. There's a limited number of incubators. Which patient gets the incubator? And like, wait a minute, you're just telling people that the answer is no. You're telling people that that you want them to die if they didn't get vaccinated. That's horse crap. I'm sorry, but if I'd have said that anybody should die during COVID, you don't think that I'd be terminated? Of course I'd have been terminated. Jeez. Jimmy Kimmel says it, but he's a champion of free speech. Wonder if Jimmy Kimmel would have come to my defense if I had said half of what he said in terms of the ability to offend. That's just a generic question. It is 3:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, I put a lot on the table. And remember that stew I mentioned earlier? It just got a new ingredient added to it. And at the same time, there's another ingredient waiting in the wings. And that is what is going to be a late Donald Trump announcement, along with HHS Secretary Kennedy, about autism. Supposedly it's about autism and acetaminophen. So when that happens, we'll let you know what has taken place, and we will take calls on that. But just out of curiosity here, before we head into news, the return of Jimmy Kimmel tomorrow night, what's going on here? I mean, to me, that's exhibit A of Donald Trump being a very ineffective authoritarian. I'm sorry. What do you think Kim Jong-un would have done to Jimmy Kimmel? Now, that's an authoritarian. If this was Russia, whoever the Jimmy Kimmel of Russia would have been would have found their private plane running into Wagner Group issues, okay? That's what authoritarians really do, okay? And by the way, you ICE people in Western New York, you're welcome. You can email me, tom@wben.com. It is 9 minutes after 4. That is WBEN Arthur Pressman Traffic Attorney Time. And again, it's so weird how many things there are percolating today. And if you know me, you know that one of my biggest complaints in life is information overload. And sometimes doing this for a living, you scratch your head and you think, geez, what am I going to do today? What topic do I? And then other days like today, I've got about 10 awesome topics. And then another one just got added. And we're also keeping our eyes in the White House and whatever they're going to say about autism, which I know is a big deal for many of you out there, because for years, many parents were gaslighted. Or would it be gaslit? There was an attempt made to gaslight you by people in the medical profession and in government. Oh, it's all in your head. It's all your imagination. Autism just is. It's not caused by anything. I'm just saying, I know parents who've been through that, and they always knew better. They never allowed themselves to be gaslit. Or would it be gaslighted? I don't know. So anyway, the Jimmy Kimmel story. Isn't it weird that just before it was announced that Jimmy Kimmel is coming back tomorrow night, that I just mentioned Jimmy Kimmel probably chilling in the Hamptons or Malibu? Weird. Would have been weirder had I said, he's probably getting ready to do a show tomorrow night. Now, that would have been cool. So, anyway, to let you know what's going on here, Jimmy Kimmel, this is the New York Times, John Koblin. Jimmy Kimmel is coming back. ABC has said just minutes ago that Jimmy Kimmel Live would return to its airwaves on Tuesday, ending an impasse that began last week. Impasse? I'm sorry, I thought it was a suspension. I didn't know it was a contract negotiation. Okay, last Wednesday, this is ABC speaking now. Last Wednesday, we made the decision to suspend production on the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment for our country. It is a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and thus insensitive. We've spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, and after those conversations, we reached the decision to return the show on Tuesday. As you might be aware, Joe Beamer, David have talked about this and a lot more. The network had removed Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely, it wasn't even a week, last week after a top Trump regulator and many conservatives said he inaccurately described the politics of the man accused of fatally shooting the right-wing activist Charlie Kirk. Okay, he's a right-wing activist. I guess I would call him a conservative pundit, a man of faith, a leader for many young people. But if New York Times wants to call him a right-wing activist, you know what, whatever. It's the New York Times. I wouldn't expect anything from a pig but a grunt. The subsequent suspension of Jimmy Kimmel Live almost immediately morphed into a flashpoint for free speech in America. I'm going to add to the article, for some people. To those of us with common sense, it wasn't ever about free speech. It was about your company and its policies and you being a representative of the brand of your company. And as I pointed out last week, remember, folks, it's always about the bottom line. And as I said earlier today, and as I said last week, ABC, they were soiling themselves because Jimmy Kimmel, what he said wasn't only going to affect the Jimmy Kimmel show. Let's not be stupid. It was going to affect the entire network and its revenue. And frankly, I think it's going to even more now. I want your take on this because, frankly, a Wednesday suspension and he returns to the air tomorrow night, less than a week later. What does that sound like to you? Anybody? What does it sound like to you? Let me offer my off-the-cuff analysis. And if I'm wrong, blame it on Monday. My off-the-cuff analysis is, sounds like to me, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to Charlie Kirk in any way, shape, or form, but I'm removing Charlie Kirk from the equation in my analysis, okay? So pretend Charlie, nothing happened with Charlie Kirk. If this had been any other situation, all right, my very first reaction, it's a publicity stunt. To me, even putting Charlie Kirk back into the equation, it really seems like a publicity stunt by ABC because Jimmy Kimmel didn't exactly have the greatest ratings in the world, but whose name has been on everybody's lips since last Wednesday? Probably a lot of Democrats who are upset about his free speech supposedly being violated. Probably a lot of those people never even watched Jimmy Kimmel either because they're all busy at gay orgies and stuff. That was a joke. I have a lot of homosexual friends. They love me. I love them. Not a big deal. So anyway, the situation with Jimmy Kimmel, I'm sorry, it seems like a publicity stunt. Jimmy Kimmel is a household name in households that probably had never heard of Jimmy Kimmel. Okay. People who came home from work, who DVR'd The View, probably were watching The View. They weren't watching Jimmy Kimmel, who isn't really funny. I think he's enormously talented, but I also think that there's comedy and then there's political stuff. And the two don't really make good bedfellows unless you're going to be bipartisan in your attacks. Johnny Carson was bipartisan in his jokes, and Jay Leno was too, even though Jay Leno is a lefty. Okay, well, Jay Leno is a really nice guy. So he's not like an extreme left-wing guy because he's really nice and he's super normal. You ever go to Hollywood and you take a tour bus? Jay Leno is a guy, if he's in a convertible especially, when he sees the tourists in Hollywood, he'll wave to you. He'll say, hey, how you doing? And everybody's delighted. He's a very nice man, Jay Leno. So anyway, getting back to it. I think that the Jimmy Kimmel suspension, it seems to me, and this is my off-the-cuff analysis, which I reserve the right to change if nobody agrees with me. My off-the-cuff analysis is, this was a publicity stunt by ABC because I can't decipher it any other way. Can you? Because the idea that I posited last week was that ABC did this because of revenue. They suspended him because of revenue and concerns about what, about you know, half or is it 80% of the country would have done in terms of sponsor boycotts, not just to Jimmy Kimmel, but across the board. But the more I'm thinking about it, even as I think about it on the air, maybe, I hate to say this, but it does happen every now and again. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe, just maybe, this was a big chess game. And the idea was, we're going to suspend Jimmy Kimmel. We're going to wait for Trump to say something controversial or somebody in his administration to say something controversial, maybe, because we've got whispers that it might be happening. So, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel is going to be suspended. Then we turn it into Jimmy Kimmel Week with everybody in entertainment rallying to Jimmy Kimmel support and turning it into a free speech issue, which it is not. Sorry, been doing this over 40 years. It ain't a free speech issue. The phone number to call is 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. But to be honest with you, if it is a publicity stunt, it worked in the short term. But in the long term, I think that the chess match is going to go the other way for ABC. Because what are people like you thinking right now? Are you thinking, as I am, that this was a publicity stunt? And then the more jaded part of me thinks, wow. So let me just get this straight. Let me read between the lines of ABC's statement here about, tense situation, emotional moment for our country. The comments were ill-timed, insensitive. We've spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy. Oh, my goodness. If that isn't Orwellian corporate speak, I really don't know what is. I'm totally serious. I think it's a publicity stunt, and it's gonna backfire on ABC because you basically have told, let's just say half, it could be 80% of the country, that, okay, we here at ABC had an opportunity to, A, seem like we were covering our behinds, and B, give Jimmy Kimmel a lot of publicity, and C, provide a platform and a cause celeb for people who think Donald Trump is an authoritarian and his regime is fascist. Mission accomplished. But in the long term, those of us who, even if we really didn't know Charlie Kirk on a first name basis or couldn't identify any of his dialectics and his arguments, I thought what he said was inappropriate. I really did. And frankly, what I have read about ABC's company standards, it was clearly in violation of ABC's company standards. And I wouldn't be suspended if I said something like that against company standards. I'd be fired. Hello. But I think that the people who were thrilled that ABC had taken disciplinary action against Jimmy Kimmel, I think that those same people are likely to be even angrier now that Jimmy Kimmel has been returned to the airwaves. He will be tomorrow night after less than a week. And I think that people are going to believe that ABC played us. They made it seem like suddenly they have been overtaken by spasms of decency and common sense. But what changed? It's still an emotional environment. It's still a tense environment out there. And if they've spent the last days having thoughtful conversations with Jimmy, well, could you elaborate on that? Could you expand upon that? What kind of conversations did you have with Jimmy? I mean, yeah, it's a personnel matter. I'm sure they'll use that. But I'd like to know exactly what they discussed. Hey, Jimmy, you did a great job acting in this whole thing. Well done. You're back on the air Tuesday. Now, Trump looks like a fascist. Your name is in everybody's mouth. You're going to have great ratings on Tuesday night. So take that Cume audience and make sure it sticks. There's something I don't like about this, clearly. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but seriously? A suspension announced on Wednesday and he's going to be back on the air on Tuesday? It seems like a publicity stunt. Do you think that's a plausible explanation? Because I think people if I know this audience, most of you out there are not real happy that Jimmy Kimmel is coming back so soon. Maybe after a month or two, you can understand it, but huh? I don't get it. How do you explain this? What's your analysis of this? And again, folks, I could be wrong. I'm just doing this off the cuff. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Wow. So Jimmy Kimmel is returning to the airwaves tomorrow night. Boy, that was a fast suspension. Almost smells like a publicity stunt. Let's go to Dan in North Tonawanda on WBEN. Let me just fire up my mouse. Here's Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Tom. How the heck are you? All this interesting day-by-day news.
Live the dream.
Anyway, my theory is very simply. Mr. Kimmel went in with some of his high-profile lawyers and his contract and indicated that you can't do this to me. ABC is going to self-destruct because they've been buying some bad wheat from some bad sources, and they don't know which way to turn. And he cut a deal back at the desk. Meantime, he gets to abuse his guests, people like Sylvester Stallone, which I saw that one. Okay, and I'm looking forward to the entertainment where one of his guests grab him from behind that desk and pound his head in.
I don't want that. I don't want violence. I mean, that makes us just as bad as certain people I can think of online. You don't want to see that, Dan. Come on. You don't want to see a human being beating another human being unless it's where it belongs in a hockey game.
That would calm all this nonsense down.
No, Dan, I got to let you go. I got to let you go because you're kind of crossing that line. And see, I have companies here. Oh, this is a great example. I have company standards by which I need to abide. So if I have a caller who I think is kind of on the line there, I got to cut him off. Okay. And I know that I have to cut him off. And if I hadn't have cut him off and if he'd gone maybe a few steps further, guess what? I would be at least suspended and possibly terminated. So you see, you have discipline when you are on the air. You must have discipline. You must have a schematic of what is acceptable and what is not. And in my opinion, Dan was a little too close to the line with his last comments. So I decided to move on, not with any bile in me, but just as a matter of protecting myself and protecting the radio station's license. See how that works? What a great example. Couldn't have asked for a better phone call to start things off. I'm telling you. So Jimmy Kimmel is coming back tomorrow night. And I think that ABC is going to be under a lot more criticism now because it was such a short suspension. And what has changed? What has changed? What, Charlie Kirk has been dead a few more days? That's what's changed? They really think that people's sensitivities about Charlie Kirk and the principles for which he stood, having seen the memorial service, that those thoughts about Charlie Kirk are now dead and buried with Charlie Kirk? I've got news for you, ABC and others. They aren't. Charlie Kirk lit a fire in this country, particularly among young people, that is only spreading. And when I say fire, I don't mean destructive fire. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm using it as a metaphor. Got to be clear about these things these days. But it seems as though by putting him back so soon, now it's ABC that is insensitive to the viewers who were not happy with what Jimmy Kimmel had to say. And frankly, it kind of seems to me like a publicity stunt. How else was Jimmy Kimmel going to be on everybody's lips for the past 5 days? And he's going to have monster ratings tomorrow night, probably. Damn. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. How do you feel about Jimmy Kimmel coming back so soon? What do you think was going on here? Do you think it was a publicity stunt? Because that's the first thing I can think of. And I think it's going to make things worse for ABC among people who are inclined to think Charlie Kirk is a bit of a martyr. Yes? No? This probably is a little bit worse than actually keeping Jimmy Kimmel on the air, because you gave people false hope that, my goodness, you've seen the light. No, you didn't see the light. I just got hit by a train. That was the light. 803-0930 on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome, 437 at News Radio 930 WBEN. That is Arthur Pressman, Traffic Attorney Time. If you're just joining us, Jimmy Kimmel, this very short suspension. He's going to be back on the air on ABC tomorrow night. I wonder who's going to advertise on the show nationally and locally. Scratching head. But honestly, to me, this seems like, number one, a big publicity stunt that made Jimmy Kimmel a quote-unquote martyr for free speech, a living martyr, but it's not really a free speech thing. And it gave people a chance to say Trump is authoritarian, it's Trump's fault, when it was ABC that made the decision. I don't get it, except when I view it through the prism of, wow, a publicity stunt to get people talking about Jimmy Kimmel. That way it makes sense to me, because it doesn't make sense in my previous analysis. Let's go to Dan in West Seneca. It's Dan Day. Dan, welcome to the show. You're on WBEN. Thanks for holding, and everybody else on hold, kindly stay there. What's up?
Hey, thanks for having me. I gave this some thought, and it's my belief that with that pending corporate merger, they were just afraid of a backlash. Could it be the FCC? Could Mr. Trump say, hey, listen, don't allow the merger, I don't like what occurred there? I think that people don't know. I think that right now, both sides, everybody is walking on eggshells. I think that even conservative pundits are probably a little uncomfortable with some topics, because if Mr. Trump takes exception to them, he tends to react and attack who criticizes him. I think that all media outlets today, they seem to be in financial trouble because of the internet, because of blogging, because of streaming. The whole landscape is changing, and the way that even your company is going to make money, they have to examine which direction they're going to go to stay profitable. So the content of the show, certainly you yourself need listeners, so the sponsors want the commercial every time that you're on the radio. I don't think it was, I think that they didn't gauge it well, but I don't think that it was a pre-planned, I don't think they were smart enough to know how much publicity it would generate. I think it was more of a bad financial reaction. And then the public outcry was just incredible on both sides. The conservatives have their spin on what they think should happen with Kimmel, and even their interpretation of what Kimmel had actually said is different from maybe somebody with a more liberal slant and somebody who feels a little different about that type of programming. Overall, I think it's a very sad time. Tom, I've listened to your show for a lot of years. You were back on GR55 radio, and a guy named J.R. Gash was there, and John Otto was there. I've listened to radio for a long time, and it was better years ago. The whole atmosphere was better years ago. I do think free speech is in trouble. Even the way that you and I would view Charlie Kirk's funeral thing that was on television from Arizona. What I found most troubling.
Well, I'm not, with all respect, I'm not going to get into the Charlie Kirk funeral thing today, because right now I want to keep it onto Jimmy Kimmel. But you know, you say the things were better back in the, let's say, the 1990s, not to mention the 1980s, where I also started. But was it really better, or did people just have blinders on, and were people simply more under the control of mainstream media with fewer alternative sources available?
Goodness, you know, I'm going to answer that. And you know, I like what you just said there. No, I thought John Otto was brilliant. I thought that he was well-educated. I thought he was well-rounded, and I thought he was fair. You, as a younger guy, you were funny. You liked to tackle things that were uncomfortable to talk about, and sometimes you didn't tackle them seriously. You just kind of blurted out a few things which spurred conversation, and then you tried to control it. I'm going to call that great entertainment. I'm going to call that open-mindedness. I'm going to call it pretty fair, and I can't say that about everything that I hear on any media outlet or read any longer. Everybody has to have an angle. Everybody has to have a slant. Everybody has an agenda.
I don't have an agenda. I do have opinions, but I really don't have an agenda. I mean, you're not going to see me running for Congress, anything else, maybe running for the finish line, but not running for Congress. Dan, thank you, man. I appreciate the phone call. All right. This is the formerly funny Bowerly. Maybe it was funnier back then. I don't know. Probably a little more daring. 442 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Jimmy Kimmel returns to the air tomorrow night. A very short suspension by ABC. And to me, and I could be wrong, it smells like a publicity stunt that also gave people the opportunity to say Donald Trump is a fascist, authoritarian, and free speech is in danger. And I don't view this, again, as a free speech thing, because you know, the first Dan, and I did hang up on him, but not angrily, because he was going somewhere. I wasn't comfortable going with him. He made this point about, well, I think Jimmy Kimmel showed up with lawyers and they talked to the ABC executives. Well, here's the thing. I've negotiated enough contracts in my life to know that pretty much every contract is going to have a clause stating that the employee is subject to corporate policy. In other words, you got to play by the rules of ABC, just like I have to play by the rules of Odyssey. And they're not like tyrannical rules, except that one where I have to wear tights every Thursday. That's a little much. Let's go to Matt in Niagara Falls on WBEN. Hello, Matt.
How's it going? There's a few things I'd like to add. The last caller made sense on how maybe it wasn't a planned publicity stunt, but just because it was planned or not planned, it looks the way that it looks. And the way that it looks is a very bad look for ABC.
Why? Tell me why you think it is a bad look, because you know what my analysis is. It smells to me like a publicity stunt with maybe a political agenda behind it to give people the opportunity to make Jimmy Kimmel a free speech martyr, which he is not. But what do you think?
Well, the reason why it has a bad look, and again, I might be a biased guy because I will disclose I'm a MAGA guy. but what looks bad to me is when they pulled him off right after he made the comments, it was like ABC said, oh, yeah, we don't condone that, you know, yada, yada, we're going to pull him off. And now all of a sudden we've had the funeral. And now, because it's been a little bit of time, they're okay with what he said. You know, it kind of seems contradicting. Like, you know, a few days ago they weren't so happy, but now suddenly what he said is okay.
Well, okay. Yeah. I think I raised that point earlier, and maybe you can elaborate on it. Materially, what has changed between last Wednesday when Jimmy Kimmel was suspended indefinitely and today, the day after Charlie Kirk's funeral? What's changed?
Well, as far as morals go, nothing has changed. As far as mourning and moving on, I mean, we have the service now. So, I mean, some people, I've heard the opinion of, well, you know, let them go first and then. But even still, I don't know. I just think it's bad morals all around the way that it looks. The one thing that you, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, don't ever confuse broadcasting and mass media with morals.
Yeah, I guess you may quote me on that.
You may quote me on that.
Yeah, that's a very good point to say. But as far as it working out for them, I mean, the episode hasn't aired yet, and the part of it being a publicity stunt would be him getting massive ratings on Tuesday. And I'm just hoping that the conservative population of you know what, I'll even say the North American people, because we get Jimmy Kimmel here in Canada too. So hopefully the conservative population is smart enough to maybe not tune in on Tuesday, and hopefully he gets nowhere near the numbers that he was supposed to get is my hope.
Well, I was going to say that pretty much anything might be an improvement, but that would be low-hanging fruit, so I really shouldn't go there. Here, let me give you a counter way to look at that. Jimmy Kimmel, like everybody in broadcasting, has, well, in radio we call them P1 listeners. These are people who listen to WBEN every minute of every day. They are awake, and some of them are actually dead, which is really weird. But That was a joke. Sorry. I was thinking of my mom. Sorry.
He left his radio on.
Yeah, exactly. But my mother used to joke about that too. But anyway, he has people who are diehard Jimmy Kimmel fans. And there are diehard people who view the world in a certain way in which I don't happen to agree with them. And they may become Jimmy Kimmel converts, having heard so much about Jimmy Kimmel and what a magnificent human being. First, he wants people with COVID to die if they didn't get the vaccine. And now he's calling the shooter a MAGA guy. Wow, he's my kind of human being. So people, basically what he may do is consolidate people of a certain viewpoint and have his comments and all this free speech nonsense. And I don't think free speech is nonsense, but the argument is not valid in this case, in my opinion. They're going to be gravitating to Jimmy Kimmel. I think it's going to be a magnificent PR move.
So you're talking about people that are maybe on the fence that aren't fully conservative because of hearing his name are going to tune in on Tuesday because now they hear that he's back and they heard his name once again.
No, what I believe is that people who are on the left are probably going to look at him as almost a new messiah.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. He's going to get all his left viewers back. Yeah, that's for
and
sure.
Then
but
so.
I mean, I know a few people in my circle that, I don't know why, but they would still watch him. But, you know, at work when we would have conversations about stuff, they'd be pretty conservative, you know, but for whatever reason, they would watch him for entertainment. I'm hoping that some of those friends of mine won't be tuning in on Tuesday now that they saw what they saw is what I mean. People like that were, you know, the people that Charlie Woke awakened, that Charlie Kirk awakened is what I mean.
Okay, fair enough. Jimmy Kimmel, what a brief suspension. He's going to be back tomorrow night on ABC. And frankly, to me, it sounds like a publicity stunt. And it almost sounds as though they calculated that Jimmy Kimmel would somehow become a living martyr to the cause of free speech. And I don't think this is a good look for ABC, as Matt said. Matt, go ahead and speak.
Yeah, to touch on what you just said real quick, too, it's also upsetting because they gave fuel to the left to try and bring this bogus free speech narrative up again. And then they bring them back anyway, so it's a double slap. And to answer the question before you left me, I feel like it disregards any apology or any action that they took after those comments were made, at least to me, mean nothing now. And it also makes ABC look like a station that is afraid to take risks and find a new host or find a new show. I don't know if you've heard about Charlie Sheen and how good he's been doing lately and how he's 8 years sober. But he was recently on Fox and Friends this weekend, and he was joking about maybe, you know, being up to the task of hosting The Tonight Show. And I thought it was hilarious, and I think he'd be a great host. So, I mean, they could have went and tried just something new like that. Would have been more engaging, at least for me.
Well, you know, what I would do if I were ABC, keeping along your vein, there's two approaches I would take. Number one, I would bring in somebody who is genuinely funny to actually bring humor and laughs back to late night TV, like Jay Leno and Letterman and, of course, Johnny Carson. That would be an option. Or if they want to, make a mistake, they could bring another political person in, but maybe bring somebody in on the right. But frankly, you know what? Late at night, I don't think most people want politics. I think they want to chill and go to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Greg Gutfield. There's another name, but he's taken by Fox. But a lot of times, too, myself, when it's getting like super late at night and I'm getting ready for bed, yeah, I don't want to be debating politics or watching something that's debating politics. I want to watch something that, you know, I don't have to use my head so much and that I can laugh. So
I'll throw a name out. Jim Brewer. Jim Brewer might be I'm just saying, yeah, maybe he'd be a good candidate.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought about Jay Leno, too. Actually, like, immediately after Jay Leno got fired, Jimmy Kimmel got fired, I thought right away, I was like, oh, maybe they can bring Jay Leno back and do some sort of retro thing until they find a host, even if he comes back for a year. But is he too old now, would you say?
Oh, stop with the too old stuff.
I don't mean age-wise, sorry. I mean, like, I thought he was having health complications, the last that I heard.
I have no idea what his health situation is. I have no idea what he wants to do with his life. I get the feeling that he's a very happy man living his best life. And why mess it up with working if you don't have to?
No, he can just enjoy his cars and enjoy his life. And if that's what he wants to do, I don't blame him.
Bingo. I applaud Jay Leno because I think we may differ a lot politically, but I think he understands life a lot better than a lot of people in entertainment do. Because a lot of people in entertainment are just plain weird, myself included. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Niagara Falls, Ontario, checking in. Just joining us, Jimmy Kimmel is coming back tomorrow night on ABC. I think that's really strange. And my off-the-cuff analysis is, I think this was a publicity stunt, the suspension by ABC. It was a publicity stunt. It also gave people a chance to rally around Jimmy Kimmel, who became a household name, and turn him into a representative of the attack on free speech by the Trump administration. Nobody talked about the attack on free speech when Rush Limbaugh got taken off Monday Night Football. Nobody talked about it when Tucker Carlson got clipped. Jimmy Kimmel celebrated it. I don't get the argument. I really don't. And again, corporate policy is corporate policy. And that's always going to be something that you need to respect, even in a contractual situation, because most contracts that I've ever seen in broadcasting always have the clause that you are to abide by corporate policy. And that's kind of sacrosanct. That's I presume Jimmy Kimmel has that in his contract. But basically, I think this is a bad look for ABC. How is this, figuring that most of you out there are not happy with people who were disparaging in any way or disrespectful towards the murder of Charlie Kirk? How is this sitting with you? What is the message you're getting from ABC? And I just have to come to the conclusion, again, off the top of my head, but I think it's fairly reasonable. This was a publicity thing. Definitely a publicity thing, in my opinion. I can't say definitely. My opinion is it was a publicity stunt. It is 4:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. News is coming up next. We're following the autism stuff at the White House as well. Hello. I would say happy Monday, but that would be a true oxymoron. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, coming up on 10 minutes after 5 o'clock. And, you know, this is just one of those days where there were so many things that I had laid out that I wanted to do, and I did that a little bit in the 3 o'clock hour, the first hour of the show following Joe Beamer, and about 3:40, we got news that ABC is going to start airing Jimmy Kimmel again tomorrow night, Tuesday night. So naturally, that became the new shiny toy, and we're playing with it on WBEN. So I started a thought, and I want to finish it, kind of ran into a time crunch there, but one of our previous callers, Dan from West Seneca, was talking about a longtime Buffalo radio talk show host and Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Fame member, and frankly, one of my idols, John Otto. And for those of you who don't know anything about John Otto, let me simply say that and that's proof of what I'm about to say, I am not fit to shine John Otto's talk show host shoes, okay? John Otto was one in a billion. John Otto, to me, is the greatest talk show host who has ever lived. And I think he was better than Rush. I think he was better than Sean. John Otto was absolutely legendary. An amazing command of the English language. An amazing voice. Certainly had very strong opinions. And he was the father of talk radio in Buffalo, New York. And honestly, someday I hope to be a tenth as good as John Otto. And I'm just happy that toward the end of his life, when frankly the job was a little hard to come by for John, it's not a reflection of his talent at all. It's the nature of the beast, nature of the business. I'm just glad that I was able to offer him the opportunity to stay on the air, because John always said, if you want to be on the radio, you have to be on the radio. That's why I tell young broadcasters, I don't care if you want to do sports, if the opportunity comes up for you to do news or something else, you got to be on the air. Because you think John Murphy started out as the voice of the Bills? He did not. Started out doing news at a station in Niagara Falls, and then he built his own career. And I see a lot of that as well in the voice of the Bills, Chris Brown. I used to work with Chris Brown. I used to do sports on the old morning show back in the early 1990s. And to see what Chris has done with his career and the way he forged the business around his desires. Very few people succeed in this business. Fewer people still do it on their terms. And Murph and Chris Brown are two examples that I use all the time when I talk with young broadcasters. But getting back to Dan and John Otto, one thing that people may not remember about John Otto is he had a tremendous, I'm going to be delicate here, he had a tremendous antipathy toward homosexuals. And that was always one of the dividing points between myself when I was competing with John and John. I have always been accepting of gay people. I don't really care what people do. I just doesn't bother me, okay? You're an adult. You do what you do, and I don't care. Consenting adults, whatever. John referred to homosexuals as anal adulators. And forgive the use of the language at this time, but that's what he used to say. And he got into some controversies with Scientology. He got into controversies with the gay community that I've never had to deal with. I've had my own other controversies with which I've had to deal. But anyway, John was an amazing talk show host. But hey, look, he wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but I loved his performance. I loved him as an entertainer and as a person. And it is kind of sad that at his memorial service, there are only about 12 of us there, including Anthony Violani, who at that point was the radio critic for the Buffalo News. But all of this is a buildup to what we're talking about right now. And that I thought I'd make a Buffalo reference because, look, I mean, you don't forget the people who inspired you to do what you do for a living. I'm sure you don't. Whatever it is you do for a living, I'm sure you had some inspiration, maybe a father, a brother, a grandfather, especially those of you in the trades, okay? People in the railroad, that's also a family industry. And the intelligence community, also a family industry, I might add. But anyway, the people that we had in Buffalo when I was growing up were absolutely so amazingly talented, like John Otto, Irv Weinstein, Rick Azar, Tom Joles, and in the current era, Claudine Ewing is awesome. Scott Levin is awesome. Mary Alice is awesome. There are still some very, very talented broadcasters in Buffalo, New York, and they've been here for a while. And that's, by the way, market equity is what we call it in the business, being in one place for a long time, market equity. And it's a very important factor in the trust department. And you know what? You might not agree with everything I say. You might not agree with anything I say. But the one thing on which you can always depend on me to do is when there's breaking news, I will cover it as responsibly, as quickly, as accurately as I can. Keeping in mind, as I mentioned many times, that the first information we get from any breaking news story is always in flux and it's always subject to change. The problem, as much as I enjoy doing breaking news, the problem with breaking news is it's usually tragic. And that part I do not like. Okay. But getting back to, so I just wanted to address Dan and West Seneca. And yes, I share his love for John Otto, but I also remember that we did differ on some things. And yes, I was very tolerant of the homosexuals a long time before it became cool. I've always been proud of that, actually. But anyway, talking about the return of Jimmy Kimmel to the airwaves of ABC, which is going to take place tomorrow night. And I hope I don't have tunnel vision on this, and maybe I do, and you can correct me, because I'm not saying I'm right. Please. I'm not that presumptuous, okay? And I'm not that narcissistic or egotistical. Maybe a little bit, but narcissistic, not egotistical. Like there's a difference. Okay, shut up, Tom. But the way I analyze this situation right now is the duration of the suspension was so short of Jimmy Kimmel. He was suspended last Wednesday. David, Joe Beamer, spent a lot of time talking about it. Joe Beamer lives for late night TV. I was joking last week. At this point in my life, 8:30 is late night TV for me. Don't laugh. I ain't even kidding on that one. Eh, get off my lawn. I'm cold. I love saying those things, by the way. But Jimmy Kimmel's suspension started last Wednesday. We did a lot of radio shows on it. News Radio 930 WBEN. It's going to end tomorrow night. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, when I see a situation I don't understand, what is the financial interest? And I had a different analysis last week than I do today, which I hope you'll forgive me, but I've always maintained that when new data points emerge, I am entitled, just as you are, to change your opinion, to change your analysis. Okay? Are we in agreement on that? That somebody who changes nothing can't change anything. Not that I'm trying to change anything, except my underwear, at least once a week. So, Jimmy Kimmel, suspended Wednesday, going to be back on the air again tomorrow night. My analysis at this point is this. You know what it sounds like to me? Does this not sound like a publicity stunt? Because that is the only conclusion I am currently drawing from this sequence of really bizarre events. A serious suspension, which is supposed to chasten someone and relieve a network or a radio station of aggravation for something a host has said, it's not less than a week long, okay? If you're suspended for less than a week, that's not even a slap on the wrist, all right? That's a hiccup. That's a glitch. That's not even, I wouldn't even call that discipline, okay? So I do believe, and again, please understand, I could be wrong. To my credit, I do have, 44 years in this business, and even if I don't watch somebody all the time, I get the business, even though I don't follow the business of the business. I know how the business works, if you understand. I can't tell you who owns what, how long they've owned it. I don't know. I don't have a clue. I can't even keep up with this place, to be honest with you. All I do is my job. My job is to be here for you, hopefully entertain you, inform you, have fun with you, and send you away with a smile. And if I make you laugh once a day, that's a bonus. That's the cherry on top of the sundae. But as far as the business of the business, I don't really follow it, but I do understand it. So I believe, based on my experiences in this business and things I've observed over the years, that this smells a lot like a publicity stunt. What did it accomplish for Jimmy Kimmel and ABC? Well, for Jimmy Kimmel, it made Jimmy Kimmel, number one, a household name, even for people who have never watched him or heard of Jimmy Kimmel. Everybody was talking about Jimmy Kimmel. Number two, it made Jimmy Kimmel appear to ignorant people. And I don't say ignorant as in stupid. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. And I guess I am stupid too. Never mind. But ignorant people who don't really get the concept of what free speech is and what it isn't. Jimmy Kimmel, to ignorant people, is a symbol of the authoritarian Trump's attack on free speech. Jimmy Kimmel was victimized by Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. That wannabe dictator, you know. Well, riddle me this. If Donald Trump is this all-powerful authoritarian fascist, he's a pretty bad one, don't you think? I mean, Lincoln at least held hostile editors in prison for the duration of the Civil War. Jimmy Kimmel got off in less than a week. And it wasn't even a government thing. It was an ABC thing. So Jimmy Kimmel becomes this living martyr to the cause of free speech, which he absolutely is not. I've gone over this until I'm blue in the face. Whether I agree or disagree with Jimmy Kimmel is immaterial. Everybody in this business has company and corporate standards by which they must abide. You heard me hang up on a guy earlier, not with anger, but because he said some things that I thought were straddling a line with which I personally did not feel comfortable, and I don't think the company would have felt comfortable. And I decided to let him go because I didn't like the sound. I'm sure he's a great guy, and I'm sure he didn't mean anything by it, but I didn't want to get sucked into that situation of seeming like I was supporting somebody saying what he said. I'm not going to repeat it. But it sounds like a publicity stunt. It made Jimmy Kimmel a false martyr to the cause of freedom of speech. And he's going to have monster ratings. He's going to consolidate a lot of left-wing viewers. Maybe some of them have watched him for years. Maybe others will begin watching him. They don't care about people on the other side. That's another takeaway I get from this. They don't care. All right. It's kind of like the Buffalo News. It's worked well for them. So what's your take on the return so fast of Jimmy Kimmel? The more I think about it, the more I believe what I'm saying is a correct analysis. But again, I might have tunnel vision. I might be wrong. I want to know what you have to say. And what was your message be for ABC? It's like they threw a bone to people in this country who think one way. Then they took the bone away. Maybe it would have been better off for those people never to have given them a bone to begin with. And I'm talking about a good bone, not a bad bone. Here's Carrie of Williamsville. Welcome. You're on WBEN.
Hello. My only comment here is that I'd like people to know that Jimmy Kimmel makes $16 million a year.
Good for him.
$16 million.
That's great.
And our president makes nothing. And he works 365 days a year doing everything he can to make our country healthy, safe, secure, etc. And this idiot makes $16 million for spewing a bunch of garbage most of the time. So I'd like people just to know that that's what he makes. And I would not stand up for some guy who makes $16 million a year and talks the way he does.
Okay. Well, can we dialogue about that for a few minutes?
Sure.
Gary? Okay. The fact that Jimmy Kimmel earns $16 million a year means that the people paying him $16 million a year believe that he's worth it.
Exactly.
So why would we criticize somebody for that level of... But my question is, why would we criticize somebody for that level of income since it was agreed to... It was an agreed to amount, presumably in negotiations with his agent, who gets 10%, and ABC. ABC believed that was an investment on which they could make money. Jimmy Kimmel is happy as a clam, I'm sure, with $16 million a year. And why does it bother you that he makes that much money? I like it when people are successful.
Oh, I'm not having a problem with success. I'm having a problem with just the kind of garbage he spews. And you're right. They made that agreement with him, just like sometimes football players or sports, people, they get a salary because they just think they deserve it. And then later on, they realize, guess what? They really don't deserve that much because they haven't been doing a good job. And this is where I feel it is with Jimmy Kimmel. Sure. That's what he negotiated. But maybe the network should think twice and renegotiate. He's not worth $16 million because he's not bringing our country together. He's not doing anything for the people. He's just spewing garbage. So,
my dear, with respect, I must counter what you're saying. Jimmy Kimmel's job is not to bring people together. Jimmy Kimmel's job is to get eyes on the TV screen so that ABC can charge the maximum rates it can charge for advertising. His job basically is to sell medicines and to sell food and to sell cars. That's his job.
Well, I agree with you there. But my point is, I just like everyone to know that that's how much he makes, and he's definitely not worth it. And they should renegotiate his contract for maybe $1 million.
That's all right, my dear. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the dialogue. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. I don't agree with Carrie. Because if you are making that kind of money, it is because the person who is paying you believes that they're going to make even more money off of you. Okay, and it's the same thing with professional athletes. People have a big issue with what professional athletes earn. I do not. And I do not because if it was not for Josh Allen and James Cook and all of the other guys on the Buffalo Bills, there wouldn't be people in the seats. They are the product. They are the brand. They are the commodity. But at the end of the day, NFL players, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, WNBA, I could keep listing sports, but at the end of the day, if you think about it, really, they're beer salesmen. They're beer salesmen, and they're medication salesmen, because they are entertainment, and the job they have is, of course, to win football games, but in the macro view, as David Bellavia would say, the 35,000-foot view is they're beer salesmen. And you could say the same thing about me, except I don't think we do beer ads here. If we did, look out. It is 527 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I don't have a problem with Jimmy Kimmel making $15 to $16 million a year, because obviously the people writing the checks believe it is a good investment and they believe that they will get ROI, return on investment, on the money they've invested in Jimmy Kimmel. Now, whether that actually is the case or not, I do not know. I don't have access to those numbers, but believe me, the people at ABC, before they agreed to pay Jimmy Kimmel the amount of money he earns, they did internal analyses of, okay, what are the ratings likely to be? How much money can we charge for the ads? Will he make a big profit for us? Because I have to think that if he's earning $15 to $16 million, which is reported across the business, that ABC is looking to at least double that in terms of revenue they're going to see. But, people, I don't know, I used to get a little bit upset at people making that much money when I was in my 20s. And I don't anymore because I understand that he's worth it to the people paying him for whatever reason. I don't know why. Just saying. It is 28 minutes after 5. Jimmy Kimmel is returning to the air tomorrow night. Talk about a quick suspension. Do you feel slapped in the face a little bit by ABC? Because I do. I really do. Because I feel like we all got played in a publicity stunt. Yes? No? Give me your take. Give me your analysis of this. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Don't I sound very thoughtful today? Hey, I thought so too. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. The story of the day, which broke at about 3:40 this afternoon as we're on the air. Jimmy Kimmel's suspension ends tomorrow night. Talk about a quick suspension. And my off-the-cuff analysis is that I think this was a big publicity stunt. I really do. And I don't think that, let's put it this way. If you were happy that ABC apparently heard your voice, and maybe had a sudden spasm of common sense, the fact that his suspension lasted less than a week, I really don't think that's going to sit very well with you. I'm just saying, because it seems really like not even a slap on the wrist, huh? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I will go over the reasons why. I just smell something weird going on here. I've basically stated them, but I'll state them again coming up. But here's Mary in Lockport. Thanks for holding, Mary. You are on WBEN.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Oh, that's good. I just wanted to make a comment that I understood that before he got suspended. So why would they rehire him back for the amount of money that they're paying him if his ratings are down? Trump's ratings are up, and he's not getting anything.
Okay, so can you just repeat what you said? Because you kind of cut out a little bit, at least in my headphones. I'm not sure about people's radios, but my headphones or maybe my left ear cut out. So go ahead. Say that again.
I said Jimmy Kimmel's ratings have gone down is what I've understood. And why would they hire him back if his ratings are down and pay him the amount of money they're paying him when Trump is, his ratings are going up and he's getting nothing?
Well, when you say ratings, I don't know what you mean. Are you talking about job approval? I mean, and by the way, the Trump approval ratings, I do not believe the polls. Every day in the news feed, I'm always getting something about Trump is now less popular than syphilis. Really? That's fascinating. But the people at ABC, they didn't rehire him. They suspended him. So they never terminated the contract or the relationship with Jimmy Kimmel. They just basically put him on the bench to try to figure out what they were going to do next. So he was never terminated from ABC. What they really did was sit him down for less than a week and bring him back, or they're going to bring him back tomorrow night. The reason, even though they're paying him the $15 to $16 million a year, and I hate to sound repetitive, but I often do, they're bringing him back because it is a business. And the business brains at ABC have made calculations that this is in their financial best interest, that Jimmy Kimmel, and if you think about it, Jimmy Kimmel's ratings may very well have a huge bump, and his challenge is then to maintain those people who are tuning in. And it doesn't matter if your ratings are from people on the left or people on the right, it's immaterial. The point is, you want to put eyes on the screen. And if you think about it, the last week, Jimmy Kimmel has become a living martyr to this fallacious idea that he is a free speech. He's a victim of no freedom of speech under the authoritarian Donald Trump, which is just not true. I've cited example after example of people on the other side who have been terminated, and there were no bellowing over the lack of freedom of speech when Rush Limbaugh was discharged because of his Donovan McNabb comments during a football game. So the narrative over since Jimmy Kimmel was fired, tell me what you think the narrative has been, Mary.
the narrative of him being suspended or fired or whatever.
I'm sorry, I said fired. Now you've got me confused, but I'm not confused. The narrative of the firing of Jimmy Kimmel. What have you heard ever since last Wednesday? What has been the dominant theme? Go ahead.
I heard the reason was because he lashed out at the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
I'm going to play exactly what he said, but perhaps I didn't phrase the question properly. Since Jimmy Kimmel was suspended last Wednesday, there have been so many news stories and so many media types speaking out against what? Oh, come on, Mary. This is easy. No. All right,
about
my dear.
People,
go ahead.
People laughing about what I'm hearing is people laughing about Charlie Kirk being assassinated and celebrating that he was assassinated.
Well, that's an interesting take, Mary. Let me give you my take on it. The media narrative since Jimmy Kimmel's suspension has been less about Charlie Kirk and what happened to him, and it's been more about Jimmy Kimmel and this narrative they're trying to push that Donald Trump is an authoritarian dictator and that this suspension of Jimmy Kimmel represents an attack on freedom of speech. And because Donald Trump is an authoritarian, no more Jimmy Kimmel, probably for a long time, which turned out to be less than a week. So what was accomplished by this, Mary? Let me just lay it out for you and get your take on it. What was accomplished is Jimmy Kimmel, and forgive the repetition, but we have people joining us all the time. Jimmy Kimmel became a household name. Even people on the left who might never have watched Jimmy Kimmel before because they were too busy on YouTube or Blue Sky, they now are admirers of Jimmy Kimmel because he has been painted wrongly as a victim of Donald Trump and this fascist administration. And the other thing, are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jimmy Kimmel has been basically put on a pedestal as this example of somebody who has been having his rights taken away by this authoritarian mask-wearing government. And I've been trying to put some common sense into this conversation. So ABC has made Jimmy Kimmel, by suspending him, Jimmy Kimmel became a household name, and at least in some quarters of America, his stock is up because he's been painted, he's been glorified as this freedom of speech warrior. And people forget that he celebrated when Tucker Carlson lost his job. Where was Tucker Carlson's freedom of speech? Did Jimmy Kimmel give a rat's behind about Tucker Carlson's freedom of speech? I don't think so. He danced on his broadcasting grave.
Well, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to hang up.
Oh. Okay, you're showing me.
Yeah. Anyway, I do not like Jimmy Kimmel. I do not like the mainstream media. And as far as the freedom of speech, it's not just one-sided. We all have that right. We all have that right. So I don't know, you know, if one person says something about Charlie Kirk that's not very nice, then that's one thing. But if they say something that is going to hurt someone, that's another thing.
You mean hurt somebody physically or hurt somebody's feelings?
Physically.
Well, we're going to play what Jimmy Kimmel said. Mary, thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
I would like your take on this. You might disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm not gonna get upset with you. I mean, seriously. I mean, Dan called in before, and he has a different worldview than I do. Didn't get upset with him at all. He had a chance to speak his piece, and life is good in the hood. But let's hear what Jimmy Kimmel said, what got him suspended, for those who don't know.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
That is pretty incendiary. The MAGA gang. Oh, that's a little bit pejorative. So, all right, if you are in MAGA or consider yourself to be a MAGA spirit, you are now a gang member. Yes, you're a gang member, you know, like the brown shirts or the SS, I guess. I'm just reading between the lines there. So MAGA gang, and the let's hear it again. Let's just hear it one more time.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
Yeah, desperately. And that's another pejorative word. They're desperately trying to. And if you're desperate, that means you must be trying to change something that is true or change perceptions of a truth. The other thing is trying to change people. He was anything but one of them. Really? Because I'm not getting the sense that the accused assassin was a MAGA person. The sense I have, based on everything to which I have access, which is exactly those things to which you have access, is he came from a MAGA family. But he, allegedly, had been radicalized into left-wing and trans ideology. Now, that is the narrative. Is that a true narrative? Hey, that's out of my pay grade. I'm not rushing to judgment about who killed Charlie Kirk or why. All right. I know what the official story is so far, but you know what? I'm also aware of what the official story was with JFK, what the official story was with RFK and MLK and Ronald Reagan. And I'll believe it when it's proven. That is what is being said. But if I don't know the accused assassin's ideology, well, Jimmy Kimmel doesn't either, right? So he's jumping to the conclusion that the accused assassin is a MAGA guy. I'm not jumping to any conclusion because I don't know what happened. I know what the story is from the officials. I don't know what's true. It's got to be proven in court. We talked about this last week in an adversarial process with his attorneys raising arguments, the prosecution raising arguments, and does the prosecution have what it takes to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt? Will the defense be able to raise alternative theories of the crime that might give a juror the opportunity to say, you know what, I don't think they proved the case? Maybe you saw the video of the alleged second muzzle flash. I mean, that's been going around all weekend long, before that, actually. But anyway, that's what Jimmy Kimmel said, all right? And I think it was out of line. And ABC, this isn't, and again, forgive the repetition, but it's not a freedom of speech thing. Jimmy Kimmel was not taken to Siberia and put in a work camp, okay? His employer suspended him because, well, my original analysis was it was concerned about the bottom line. My new analysis is that I think it was a publicity stunt. A publicity stunt. I really believe that. I can always be changed, but that's my analysis right now. Let's go to David in Holland on WBEN. Oh, David, your take on the very fast and quick suspension of Jimmy Kimmel. He's going to be back on the air tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, first things first, Tom, I totally agree with you. I think this is like a publicity stunt. But my take on this is I totally disagree with bringing him back so soon, publicity stunt or not. Especially after the ABC local news station in Sacramento got shot up because someone was furious about Jimmy Kimmel, what they thought was being fired, because that was what was going around. Not suspended, but fired. So I think it sends a poor message, and I hope you agree with me, Tom, that you go do something like that and you get what you want.
What do you mean you get what you want?
In terms of this guy went in furious that Jimmy Kimmel was what he thought was fired, shot up the local news station in Sacramento of ABC, and now all of a sudden ABC is bringing Jimmy Kimmel back.
Yeah, I mean,
the
shooting, I mean, they did arrest the guy. Not sure what he's all about at this point, but...
Right.
I mean, I hope. Look, I mean, I think we all hope that it certainly doesn't come to that. I mean, you can't go shooting up a TV station because they're broadcasting someone or something you don't like, or a radio station or anything like that. That's just wrong.
I agree.
It's abhorrent behavior. It's a vicious criminal behavior, and it needs to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. So let's get that very clear right off. But what is the message you are getting from ABC? And you think it's going to backfire on ABC? Because I believe it will. because it's better to not give people something than it is to give them something and then take it away.
Right. I agree with you. I've been listening and I've been doing other things, so I haven't been able to call. And one of the things, as you were talking for the past hour and a half, 2 hours since I've been listening, and going with your great analysis in terms of a stunt or, basically a stunt is what I'm calling it, is he may get those ratings, and you know about ratings, and I was in TV sales for a while, so I kind of know about that stuff. You may get those ratings for a little bit, then it's going to shave down. And I think they're going to have to make their decision if he's not bringing in those revenue dollars after tomorrow, and it's going to fade off, I think, down the road. Are they going to have a hard time firing him then or wait till his contract goes down? That's what they're going to have to do, but they're going to end up losing money in the end, I think. And I agree with you too, Tom, about that woman they called. Whether he's making $7 million a year or $15, $16 million a year, that's what he's making. That was a contract that was signed and delivered. So I totally agree with you about that. I mean,
if people make a lot of money, good for them. I mean, just say it.
Right.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the call, David. Great way to finish up the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. And again, I mean, my analysis is my analysis. I believe that I'm right. However, there's always a chance I could be wrong. And I'm glad you guys called in today. Honestly, there were so many things I wanted to get into today. I thought we're going to do a show on autism. It didn't work out that way. But we recorded everything and check in with us again tomorrow, won't you? But I want to thank Tanner Saunders for brilliant work behind the glass. He is one in a million. Mountain man beard and all. I want to thank Lisa Polizzi and Tim Wenger for programming assistance today. Nicely done. And stand by. Tom Puckett coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tanner, did you want to say something or was that just a ghost in the machine? Oh, a ghost in the machine. An EVP live on the air. Weird. Anyway, 557 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Enjoy your Monday night.